The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Stay tuned for a very special episode of The Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. It's the Tony Perkins Show, featuring Gary Stein. No, they're not related. They're just good friends. A Moore Broadcasting presentation. It's Tony and Gary.
Every time I see your face, it reminds me of the places we used to go.
Anymore. Yeah.
I wonder why the show is starting so differently today.
Oh, you know why, Gary. It is a very special episode of the Tony Perkins Show featuring Gary Stein. Hello, I'm Tony.
Hello, I'm Gary.
And the man you hear behind us is the one and only Ringo Starr.
Well, he's not exactly behind you, not right now.
Everybody's favorite drummer who on this day, the day that this show is debuting on the Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment Network, on this day, Ringo Starr is being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes, and who is doing the inducing?
He is being induced by none other than Sir Paul McCartney.
They've met before.
They have met before. They were in a band before, I believe, Buddy Holly and the Crickets.
Oh,
They were two of the Crickets.
Really? They were Crickets? I thought they were part of the Hurricanes.
No. That was Ringo's band before the Crickets.
I see.
No, of course. Paul McCartney, Ringo's bandmate from the Beatles.
That's right.
A big day for Ringo, a big day for Ringo and Beatle fans and for rock and roll, and it's absolutely fantastic, and we are very, very excited.
And it's a big day for us because, you know, we've known him a long time.
Yes, we have.
And there's going to be part of this show where we're going down memory lane.
Yes.
And then we are fast-forwarding and heading to the future.
Yeah, as those of you who know, who follow us on social media, first of all, thank you for doing that. We appreciate it. But if you've been following for the last couple of weeks, you know that we had the opportunity, Gary and I, to travel out to Los Angeles and interview Mr. Ringo Starr on the occasion of his being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and on the occasion of his brand new CD out now, available on Amazon. You can order it through the Mike O'Mara app. Ringo, Postcards from Paradise.
And we get nothing for this. Ringo doesn't pay us for this.
No, he does not. No. It is a fun CD. You know, I buy everything that any former Beatle releases because
yes.
I'm a completist. I'm a diehard fan.
And a billionaire.
This is a fun CD.
It is. It is.
There are several songs on it I really, really like. One of the things I like about it, he's the drummer on the CD. There are plenty of CDs by Ringo where he's drumming and someone else is drumming with him. He's the drummer
on
this CD. Well,
he always says that he likes having somebody else. And when he goes on tour, there's always another drummer.
Yeah.
So that he can get up and face the audience.
Right,
and
which is what he does.
Really entertain.
All-stars. Yes, yeah, Mr. Entertainer now. So anyway, it's all things Ringo today. Our brand new interview with Ringo Starr coming up in just a little bit. So stick around for that. We want to say hello to Rob Ford Jr.
Yay! Hey, how's it going? You know, Gary just mentioned that Tony was a billionaire.
Yeah.
So he actually bought about 1,000 copies of the CD. So if you just tweet us at T Perk Show, he'll be happy to send one to you.
I think it's more than that because I think as soon as Tony started buying them, it went number one.
Yeah. I wish I could give out 1,000 copies, and Ringo wishes I could give out 1,000 copies of the CD. You know,
we'd be even better friends.
You know, we should hook something like that up. We should have thought of that before.
You can't use that expression.
What?
Hook it up.
Hook it up.
Yeah.
It's a whole different thing.
That's something we'll have to talk about later.
Yeah. Before we jump into the whole show, listen. We thank you for. First of all, we had a little bit of a break last week with the Celebrity Showcase. Hope you enjoyed that. Thank you for listening to that. You know, Gary and I, we've been on the road. This has been a and I was on vacation too.
And, well, rehab.
That's not true.
I never thought of that as a vacation. Tony had to get over his addiction to cranberry juice.
Which we have plenty of today.
That's right.
Thank you, Rob.
Yeah, Rob always supplies us with the sugar.
Cranberry juice, cranberry pomegranate juice.
Yes.
Even better for us.
That's right.
Let me take a sip.
That's
right
why
now.
We saved it for the Ringo Show, because it's special.
Ringo would approve.
He would. Oh, man. We have to talk about the fact that he has become like a health food guy.
And
he's so healthy.
Yes, he is.
He has more energy than I think when we met him, what?
15 years ago.
Yeah. And he says he has more energy now than he did back then.
He, to me, appears healthier than he's ever appeared. Now, he's tiny.
He's
a little guy.
Yes.
Yeah. You've seen the picture. Someone tweeted, is he really that small? Because he's standing next to us and he's significantly
shorter. We're just giants.
We're giants. Yeah,
both of us are 6'8".
Ringo is 6'1".
Well, Tony and Gary decided to wear their best high heels for the interview.
Right.
So.
That's right. I love the picture of the three of us together in the studio.
Too.
Yeah.
I do too.
Except the shirt makes me look fat, but go ahead.
Come on now. Don't pick. We're standing there with an icon in an iconic place that we'll talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But you know, he in that photo, yes, he is smaller than most people would think, but he is extremely healthy and probably in the best shape of his life.
Here's the great thing about Ringo, and one of the great things about Ringo. His early days were rough as a child, very sickly young man. In the hospital for significant periods of time, missed school because he was, as they say in Britain, in hospital.
Now, if you don't mind my knowing something, Paul says
yes.
that of all of them, Ringo had it the hardest.
In some ways, he did.
He said he had the toughest upbringing of all of us.
He was an only child, very sick. His father wasn't around. His mom, I don't remember when his mom died. I don't want to misspeak.
She died early.
Did she?
Yeah, okay. She did.
Yeah. So he did have it tough. And, you know, Ringo's not shy about this. He went through a period of, in the 70s and part of the 80s, drug use and alcohol. And he and his wife, Barbara Bach, went to rehab together and came through that. He's been sober now. I think he tells us, but I forget for how many years. It's over 20 years. He's doing great.
Well, I think it's been since 1988. He said that he and Barbara have not had any slippage.
Right.
And that he also told us ages ago that he doesn't know if he could have done it if he and Barbara hadn't decided to do it together.
Together, that's right.
They
that's
really
right.
helped each other. Listen, they went through drug abuse, alcohol, the 80s together,
right?
And then they cleaned up together.
Well,
and they're still together.
The way he put it in one of our earlier interviews with him, he said, you know, we helped each other the other way, and then we helped each other this
that's
way.
Right, that's
you
right.
know, because, yeah, it, and that whole atmosphere was a party atmosphere back then. But anyway, yes, he's healthy, he's fit, he's full of energy, and tonight he is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a solo artist.
A long time coming, Tony Perkins.
And we're going to talk about that in a couple of moments, and we talk about that with Ringo as well. And you know, there's some people who say, you know, Ringo Starr in the Hall of Fame? Yeah, Ringo Starr in the Hall of Fame, and I'm going to make the case for Ringo.
We've heard that a lot over the years about, like, what kind of drummer Ringo is.
I don't get it.
If you asked any of the Beatles, they said...
The Beatles!
We knew we had the guy.
Yeah.
And I think Paul said that nobody could keep a beat like Ringo, and he knew with Ringo back there that they were safe.
I think over the course of all the recording sessions, and whenever they were in the studio... Mm-hmm. I think a session only fell apart once because of Ringo.
Yeah.
He just had a rock solid tempo. And as a drummer, that's the most important job.
Oh, yeah,
it really
right.
is.
You're a drummer, yeah. You're absolutely right. Well, that's the thing that they always said about Ringo in the Beatles and afterwards that other musicians who played with him say. He's got a certain groove. He's got a feel. He is a solid backbeat, keeps that time. And, you know, like you say, Rob, you know, as a drummer, that's the most important thing. But he's also creative.
He is.
Ringo's thing is he's not a showy drummer.
He doesn't like solos.
He's only got one solo while he was a Beatle, that's on Abbey Road.
There are a lot of great drummers who don't like doing solos, and some people think that means they're not great drummers. Do you remember, again, we keep talking about what he said, you know, back then, but one of the things he said back then that was one of my favorite things was when they played Shea Stadium, the only way that he was able to keep the beat was to watch Paul and George's rear ends bounce up and down to the beat, and he followed their rear ends.
The girls were actually always louder than us. I just had to sort of keep some sort of beat for people to hold on to, and I'd lose it all the time. I'd be watching,
John or Paul or George's bum to see, well, where are we up to? There we are, because I couldn't hear them.
And he would say, oh, that's where we are.
That's where we are, and that's one of the reasons why they all decided that touring wasn't fun.
Yeah, that's right. This is a quote from no less than John Lennon, September 1980, from Rolling Stone. Ringo was a star in his own right in Liverpool before we even met. Ringo was a professional drummer who sang and performed and was in one of the top groups in Britain, but especially in Liverpool. So Ringo's talent would have come out one way or the other. Whatever that spark is in Ringo, we all know it, but can't put our finger on it. Whether it's acting, drumming, or singing, I don't know. There's something in him that is projectable, and he would have surfaced as an individual. Ringo is a damn good drummer.
I think that even if Beatles lovers, Ringo lovers, if they couldn't put their finger on it either, something drew them to Ringo. His personality, his musicianship, something makes him an icon.
This is what's one of the interesting things. And obviously, folks, this is the Ringo show. You know, it's all about Ringo. So there's going to be a lot of Ringo talk today. Here's one of the interesting things, and it plays off of what John said there. When you look at the Beatles and where they came from, that time, and it's almost hard to even imagine it now. We're so far down the road. But Liverpool, which no one had heard of unless you were a sailor.
Right.
You know, certainly no music had come out of Liverpool. There were local bands and the skiffle craze and all that kind of stuff. But nothing of significance culturally had come out of Liverpool. So they're doing their thing. Paul meets John, and then Paul brings George along, and there's Pete and there's Stu. Pete and Stu fall by the wayside, and then Ringo comes in. That's when that group gelled.
Right.
I mean, they were on their way, but they were nowhere near becoming the icons that we think of them as. Ringo was like the missing link. It's strange. They had gotten a record contract with Pete, and they were about to do their first recording sessions when Pete was ousted, Ringo was brought in, and that's when things really gelled. And John puts his finger on it. It's interesting if you go back and look at the history and you wonder, okay, what if they had not met? As talented as John was, it's very likely that the world may not have ever known John Lennon.
Right.
He had his own demons, and he admitted this when he was alive. You know, he might not have become a famous person. A lot of people think Paul probably would have in some way because he's a talented multi-instrumentalist and the good looks and all that kind of stuff. He probably would have pursued music and done something with it. George was very quiet.
Shy.
Yeah, so I don't know that we would ever know George, but Ringo probably would have been known in some way, as John says there.
I think that they all talked about the fact that Ringo had this kind of mischievous, outgoing, energetic personality.
Yeah.
That he was a bit of a spark for that band.
That's right.
And who's to say how it all came together?
Absolutely right.
We should talk about our travels and how we wound up doing this most recent interview last week.
Yeah, the whole thing is interesting. You're right. So first of all, let's say this, and I think we've hinted about this on previous episodes, which without giving it away, we've been working on this for a long time. Gary and I, as you know, have been together since Good Morning America, and we first met Ringo in 2000, and we had the occasion to interview him. Gary produced every Ringo segment I ever did. Gary was a producer, so you didn't see him on camera, but we came up with the questions together. Gary put those pieces together that aired, and I'm very proud of them. I know you are, too.
Thank you. I did a really good job, even though they're going to hear mostly you on these early interviews.
Yeah, but Gary...
It was all you.
Well, yeah, but Gary's right there behind the camera, not running the camera, but, you know, off to the side, and you know, helped me come up with the questions and all that kind of stuff.
And the fun of that, too, was putting those segments together in the edit room, adding the music in places... Really producing it, but I had great interviews to work with. We worked out questions together.
Yeah.
We tried to ask him things that nobody else had asked him, hopefully. And I think that's why he liked us.
Yeah, well, you know, we have had this long relationship. It has been wonderful.
It really has.
And you know, he, like any super famous person, you got to kind of work your way in there. And we did.
And they're going to be a little bit untrusting until they get to know you because they're going to think that, you know, you have your agenda.
Right.
And they
right.
hope that your agenda matches their agenda.
Right.
But he got to trust us very early. And his wonderful publicist, Elizabeth Freund.
Absolutely.
Is very protective of Ringo.
Absolutely.
And I think that very early on at Good Morning America, we established ourselves as people who were safe. and who, for you, knew a ton about Ringo
right.
and wanted to know maybe as much or more about Ringo than just Ringo and the Beatles.
Right.
They loved that.
Right. And that's you've probably read in interviews. We should mention also Ringo was just on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes.
Fantastic. First time since 1981 he's been on the cover. I think in that article, and everyone should read it, it's very interesting. I think he mentions he's never going to write a memoir because all people want to read about, he believes, is that 8-year period from 1962 to 1970. And so he does, his feathers get ruffled a little bit if, I know he did an interview recently with a big radio personality. I'm not going to name that person. And that person only talked to him about the Beatles.
Was it Arthur Godfrey? No?
No, it was not.
Was it Edward R. Murrow?
No, it was not. Someone nearly as old, though.
Someone alive.
Yeah, yeah. And that didn't sit well. And not only did it not sit well with Ringo, it doesn't sit well with the fans because he's still, you know, his life is more than just that 8 years. Yeah, there are questions that we all want to get answers to, and we try to do some of that as well. But we always approach Ringo as, you know, Ringo Starr, not just Beatle Ringo Starr, but Ringo Starr.
Right.
And he's had tons of projects and tours and albums over the years and all that kind of stuff.
But so, I think even he wrestles with it because, you know, whenever we try to just stick with Ringo and talk to Ringo about Ringo, he winds up bringing up the Beatles and we're thrilled because we're able to talk about it, you know.
Joe Walsh, former member of the Eagles and a one-time member of Ringo's all-star band. Mm-hmm. And Ringo's brother-in-law now, Joe Walsh, is married to Barbara Bach's sister, who is a beautiful woman. Both Barbara and her sister are beautiful. Joe Walsh says that what's great is, and even Joe Walsh, as a fellow musician, says, you know, oh, I want to ask him about Beatles stuff, but you got to be really careful. But Joe says what's great is when you kind of just sit back and you're talking about stuff, that's when he opens
yes.
up and
yeah,
starts
yeah.
talking about all
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, he does go back and forth. On the one hand, it's like enough, enough, enough. But then, like on this album, the song that's getting talked about the most is the title track, Postcards from Paradise, where it's essentially a list of Beatles song titles and Ringo song titles strung together to
yes.
make a song.
Well, I think as he and Paul have gotten older,
yeah.
I think they've gotten much more comfortable with being
absolutely
Beatles
absolutely.
And being themselves.
Absolutely right. That, to me, is the... As a Beatles fan and someone who has followed them most of my life, this one of the saddest things to me about the loss of John Lennon so early when he was only 40 years old in 1980 is he was only just beginning to get to that point. That door had just
right.
started to open. They went through a lot. They went through a lot together, good and bad, up and down. The breakup was tough. There were a lot of legal issues, and it took time for all of that to settle and for them to get comfortable with their legacy.
Right.
And John was just beginning that process. Mm. I've always said what's sad to me is that the Beatles didn't have a chance to reunite, not necessarily to make an album or to go on tour, although we all would have loved that.
Right.
But to sit down as four individuals and just have some beers and go, wow,
yeah.
wasn't that
something?
Do you something?
Believe that?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think you're right. They did all get more comfortable with all of it. So the trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we want to start? So we were working on this interview for quite some time.
And Elizabeth was saying, oh, definitely.
Yeah.
You guys, you know, he'll definitely want to talk to you.
Yeah. So we're working on it. We know Ringo's got an album coming out. We know about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So they're getting ready.
And we're trying to time it.
Right, exactly. So finally, Elizabeth, we're giving you all the inside stuff
here.
Oh,
yeah.
This
is
how this works. So Elizabeth writes back and says, I've allotted some time for you.
It's all set.
Yep. Ringo's available on Tuesday. I think it was Tuesday, March 31st. In L.A.
7 p.m.
Eastern
time, yeah. 4 p.m. Pacific.
Now, here were the problems with that. Number one, Gary and I record this show typically on a Friday or a Saturday, occasionally on a Sunday. Typically during the week, Gary is at home in New Jersey. I'm here in the Washington area. In fact, and during the evenings on the weekdays, I'm at work at Fox 5 doing the news. And so we weren't going to be together at that time. And on top of it, when I looked at the calendar, I said, oh, I'm on vacation that week. I'm in San Diego.
Yes.
So
this was great.
Right. So at first it's
timing.
Like, great. This is the interview we really want, and it looks like it's going to be impossible to do it.
So we realize Tony's in San Diego, Ringo's in L.A., I'm in New Jersey, and our studio's in Washington.
Right.
It's perfect. Right. So we call Rob Ford, and we find out that we can do it, but it is not going to sound that good.
Yeah.
So we ask Elizabeth, what do you think about maybe us coming and doing it in person?
Yeah. So she says, let me get back to you. And then like a day or two later, she writes back and says, hey, if you guys can come out here, Ringo prefers it. He'd rather see you in person.
That's when I started running to Los Angeles. we said to each other, Ringo prefers it. Okay.
Now, first of all, and again, we've been blessed to be around Ringo on a number of occasions. But still, to this day, if you get a note that says Ringo would like to see you in person, that's pretty thrilling.
Yes.
It's very exciting. So for me, I'm in San Diego on vacation.
Two hours away.
Yeah. I'll drive up to do this. Gary, would you be willing to fly out to L.A. to do this interview? And, of course, Gary was like,
no, I had to think about it and think about it and think about it while I was on the phone booking airlines, you know, trying to get myself out there with, you know, not that much notice because we did think we'd be doing it on a weekend.
Yeah, we thought we'd be doing it on a weekend by phone.
But, you know, it turned out so much better because we were sitting with him,
yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
It doesn't get better than that.
I will say this right here. And, guys, you know, you listen to the show all the time, and we thank you so much for that. We love doing this show so much. This show means everything to us. So we wanted it to be Gary and I doing this interview in L.A. together. The fact that you were willing to pick up on pretty short notice and fly to L.A., so that we could be together to do this interview, I thought was fantastic. Because you know what? It would be easy not to do it. It would be easy to just say, you do it, you're out there. I'm so glad we all had such a good time together. We saw Elizabeth. Ringo was very funny. It just made all the difference in the world.
I hate to give you compliments, you know, but you just gave me one. And listen, I did it because it's our show. I would do anything for the show.
Yeah.
But you also did something. I said to you, look, if it would be easier for you to just drive up and do it because we were trying to figure out my arrangements and getting out, I said, you know, when we did Good Morning America, I produced them all and you did them yourself.
Right.
Maybe this would be easier. And you said, no, we've never done interviews without each other. Let's do it. And I thought it just speaks of who you are.
Well,
I just thought, you know, you really wanted me to be there. A lot of people would say, this is a great opportunity for me to just do it alone and get rid of that other guy. I don't need him. I'm a star. I don't need him.
Well,
when you wanted me there.
I did want you there because as you guys will hear in just a few moments, with Gary there, it's just another episode of this show, and Ringo falls right into the whole dynamic that we have
man.
Here.
It Did is he so... give me some shots that I loved?
Here's the great thing. You know, one of the things, the fact that we have known him for so long now and have this back and forth, you all know, he's very funny, that Liverpoolian wit, but likes you, this is what everyone says, and I'm so happy about this, if he likes you, he'll take some shots at you and go
he
back and forth.
He takes no prisoners.
Takes no prisoners. Right,
yeah.
Right. So it was very funny. So anyway, we get out there. The interview, Ringo is at Capitol Records, doing this day-long session of who knows how many interviews he did that day.
It's a landmark building in L.A. Most people know that round building. On Hollywood and Vine.
We're going to post some pictures of the building. Most of you do know it, yeah. And they say the interview is going to take place in Studio A. Now, I'm thinking, all right, they must have some kind of radio studios there where he's going to be like our studio here. He's going to be sitting down with headphones on and they're going to plug in all the different people that he talks to from around the country. I'm thinking that's where we're going. We get there. We're in the lobby. Someone finally comes up and says, come on down. Ringo's ready for you and blah, blah, blah. We walk down this hallway. Now, let me ask you a question because when they said Studio A, you knew where we were going.
I couldn't believe it. And if you remember some of the wonderful photos, framed photos on the wall that led to Studio A.
Yeah.
If I had any doubts about what Studio A was, which is a name I've known most of my life, some of the most amazing music in the history of music came out of Studio A. It's probably the most famous recording studio in the world.
Probably, certainly in America.
Yeah.
Certainly in America, yeah. So we're walking down the hall. They open this door. The door opens 10 inches, and I can see in, and my mouth drops open because I recognize the studio. So you knew. I didn't know that's where we were going. Studio A, Capitol Records in Hollywood, is where Frank Sinatra recorded most of his Capitol recordings.
Yes.
Right there.
The concept albums from the 50s into the early 60s,
yep.
They came out of that studio.
All in that studio. Nat King Cole recorded in that studio. To Get Modern, in the rock era, the Beach Boys recorded in that studio. Paul McCartney, a couple of years ago, he put out his standards album, Kisses on the Bottom. They did a DVD of him performing with an orchestra in that studio. That's what, so as soon as it, and it's beautiful, as soon as it opened, I just was floored.
It's not gigantic.
No.
But when you think about what happened there, we walked into a room that was filled with history to go talk to Ringo Starr.
Yeah, yeah. I will say this. Once we saw the room, it's the room that you see behind us in the picture of Gary, Ringo, and I. It's that room. And we're going to post some other pictures to show you the setup of where we were sitting.
Yeah, we'll put it up on Facebook, The Tony Perkins Show on Facebook, and also on Twitter. Tweet us at @TPerksShow.
Yes, absolutely. And tell your friends so they can see it too. I'm thrilled to see Ringo. Fantastic. I was, I think, as excited about walking into that studio as I was about seeing Ringo again.
Well, as a former producer, I was very excited to see that on these stools, they had headsets and the same professional microphones we're using right here in our studio, and I knew that we were going to have exceptional quality.
Well, that's the other thing, because going out there, we didn't know. They just said, yeah, you'll be fine. We've got
you
a studio.
Here.
So we assumed it's going to be nice.
Yeah,
but
we thought we could all be on one microphone leaning in, and,
right.
He might be thinking we're trying to kiss him.
Right.
Well, and we actually, Tony came to me and said, hey, I don't know what to expect. Do you have like a portable recorder?
Yeah.
So I gave Tony a crash course. Here's a portable recorder.
Yep.
And he actually took it out with him. Did you carry it or did you check it?
Sure. I carried it on.
Ah, very good.
Because I didn't want to risk it because it wasn't mine.
I almost tripped you up there.
Yeah.
But that would have been a one microphone situation, which we didn't want to do.
We didn't want.
When we walked into Studio A, of course, they have everything at their disposal.
Yeah.
So they had stools set up for us, and you and I sat, 20 feet away from Ringo. And it made a difference.
Yeah.
It made a difference.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the same reason why I come down to Washington to do this podcast.
Right.
I could do this from home, but I can't feel the energy in the room or sit next to you, which brings up stuff that would not normally happen.
So when Ringo comes in, we're already in place. Ringo comes into the studio, and the first thing we hear is, Tony Perkins, Tony Perkins, because he likes to play around, and I get up, and we hug and everything.
And then he says, what's your name?
Right.
I get enough of that.
Right.
What's your name again?
Here's what Ringo does. I say, well, you probably remember Gary from Good Morning America. Oh, yes, of course. So Ringo's coming towards me, and we're about to hug. He sees Gary, and as he's saying, what's your name, turns and hugs Gary first. he's a nut. But when the stars do this, it's over and over and over again. So what was great, the fact that we were both there, we were both in person, live. He had to come downstairs from wherever he had been to do this one.
Yep.
And he lit up. Not because it's us necessarily, but it's someone he
knows. He seemed very relaxed and comfortable,
He trusts us.
Yeah.
Trusts us.
And it was like he was looking at old friends, and we loved that.
And you can have that give and take instead of it being on the phone or something like that. So
it was a lot of fun before we actually got to the interview. But I think that we ought to go back a little bit, and we ought to play some of where we started with Ringo.
That's a good idea.
The very first thing that we did was Ringo was turning a landmark age. Now, we know that Ringo is 74.
Yeah, he'll be 75 this July.
Right. And he was turning a landmark age at this very first interview that we did. And, of course, I just want to reiterate, I'm standing right there. you don't hear me at all, but I've produced this with Tony. I've produced all of these with Tony. And it was absolutely a gift.
This is from the year 2000.
Right.
On Good Morning America.
I don't know if you mind me mentioning this. In a couple of months, you turn 60.
Absolutely, but don't mention it.
Is that a milestone for you, or is it just a number?
Oh, I hate it.
Really?
Yeah, the ones in between were fine. But this one is just getting up my nose.
I don't think it really wouldn't matter to you, though. I mean, you're at a very happy point.
I didn't die, you know what I mean? I still have youthful molecules in here. You know, if I don't look in the mirror, I'm 24.
Which he still says.
Yes.
I think he says it in the new interview.
He does.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah. He's stuck at that age,
well,
24.
Well, 24 is when it all happens.
Well,
so,
that's right. Absolutely yeah. right. When we did the Good Morning America interviews, and there were a series of interviews from 2000 to 2004, I believe it was,
right.
For different occasions, we always, you know, that we had a good amount of time, 20, 25 minutes, you sit down, and then Gary would edit it all together for the pieces that would air. But, you know, we would have so much material that I know on the first occasion it was a two-parter. One part aired one day,
yes,
the next part aired
exactly.
the second day. But we talked about his projects and everything, and I always tried to get something a little different than that you might hear from your typical interview and get him to talk about something else. So we talked a little bit about when he was younger and in Rory Storm and the Hurricanes,
mm-hmm.
and then was invited to join the Beatles, and that's what this is from.
You were in Rory Storm and the Hurricanes.
Exactly.
Great group. Among the most popular Liverpool.
They were the
groups.
Biggest band in Liverpool.
And you were a star in that group. So here's my question. The Beatles come along, John, Paul, and George come along. They invite you to join their group. Did you have to think about it at all?
No, I didn't have to think of it too long at all. I started playing with this band, and I've always tried to go with bands that had better musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And they were better players than the Hurricanes. And so, sure.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you would think, you know, oh, I don't know, you know, this this Rory Storm. He was a star in Rory Storm.
He
in
did
the
take a chance.
Yeah.
You know, he thought that they were that the Beatles were better musicians,
yeah.
but he was established with Rory Storm. Who knows where they would have gone?
Yeah. Rory you know? Storm and the Hurricanes, they did they had in their set. There would be Star Time, S-T-A-R-R, for Ringo to sing a song and play the drums a little bit and all that kind of stuff. So he,
right.
like John said, like Lennon said, you know, he was kind of on his way
right.
without the Beatles. So I thought that was interesting. The most interesting question I think I ever got to ask him was for on a later interview that we did at GMA.
Did I think of it?
I think this was mine. At least I'm going to claim it.
Of course you are.
Well, because
I would.
This is something that I've always been fascinated about and wondered about, like a lot of Beatle fans. The Beatles break up officially 1970, but for all intents and purposes, 1969. And I had always wondered, after they broke up, were the four of them ever together? And
right.
I asked them.
The Beatles broke up in 1970.
Exactly.
After that time, was there ever a day where John, Paul, George, and Ringo were together in the same room at the same time?
Oh, in rooms, yeah. Yeah, but we were never playing together.
No, I know that. But the four of you were together
yeah.
from time
oh,
to
yeah.
time?
Yeah, sure.
And these were under what circumstances were these?
Well, mainly we were talking about business and things like that, yeah. But, yeah, it's all over now.
Did the four of you ever seriously think, you know, we should do it again sometime?
We made one phone call about playing. When some crazy promoter offered us a fortune,
$50 million or something,
to play, we all did. Hello, you know, because we're talking a long time ago, and that was the only time we ever thought. Oh, don't be silly.
Yeah, don't be silly, please.
Oh my God! You know that crazy promoter was a guy named Bill Sargent, who produced a number of shows on Broadway, and I stage managed one of them after this.
Really?
Yeah.
I still remember one of the headlines. It might have been in People magazine when he offered the Beatles $50 million to get back together, and the headline was Bill Sargent peppers the Beatles with offer of reunion
yes,
or something
I remember.
Like that. Yeah, yeah.
I remember reading that.
Here's what I think did him in. I guess he was, before doing the Broadway shows, he was kind of this promoter trying to come up with things. This was during the days of Jaws, when the movie Jaws
yes.
was really hot. So he also was going to promote a battle between a man and a man-eating shark.
Yes, I know.
And the Beatles, when they realized, oh, it's that guy,
yeah,
he was going,
yeah.
no, I don't think
he had a little P.T. Barnum in him.
Yeah.
And I think that turned them off because
yeah.
he was, you know, a guy trying to be an entrepreneur, a showman, and I don't think he cared what the area was. He just wanted to do big things and get rich.
Right.
But I think he was responsible for producing one of the Richard Pryor concerts.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
All right. The
yeah.
only thing I knew him for was the shark and the Beatles.
No, just ask ask me.
By the way, $50 million back then.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
In today's money, it's well over $125 million today.
Wow.
Which
is huge. If they got $50 million, the Beatles would be rich.
But still not as rich as Tony.
No, not true.
Who could be?
But you know, that offer is, and that offer, that was like in 75 or 76 or something like that. Yeah. It was, you know, they were constantly being approached. The general director, who's the guy who's in charge of the United Nations? Really,
he's called the UN boss.
The UN boss.
Yeah, that's his name.
He tried to guilt the Beatles into getting back together at the end of the 70s. Saying,
so he was Jewish.
By saying, you know, you could do the world a lot of good if you get back together and raise a lot of money for something. So
he appealed mostly to Richie Starkowitz.
You know, for a long time, people thought Ringo was Jewish.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
some people thought,
Is it because he walks around with my honker?
Well, that was part of it, I think. Yeah. So that when Bill Sargent made that offer for $50 million, it was after that Saturday Night Live made their famous offer of $3,000 for the Beatles to get back together. And Lorne Michaels offered and said, look, $3,000, you get back together, sing three songs, split it any way you like. You can give Ringo less if you want to.
That's great.
Very, very funny. Ringo obviously has toured. Actually, when we first met him in the year 2000, at that time, he had toured more frequently than any other member of the Beatles.
Right.
George only did a world tour once and then toured Japan. John never toured before he was killed. Paul, of course, now tours all the time. So now Paul has passed Ringo.
Right.
But Ringo toured a lot. And I asked him a little bit about that because it had been, the last Beatles tour was 66 and the first All-Star Band was 89.
Right.
That's a long time. And I asked him,
you know what went on in the middle there.
Well, yeah, there were some lost years there.
Yes.
I think. But I talked to Ringo about touring and let's listen to that.
There was a point in time where you seemed to think there was no way you would ever go on tour again.
Yeah. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friends.
Well, it took 20 years. I was like insecure. Just started coming together. And, after the first night, I was comfortable with the whole deal. And that's how it worked.
It seems surprising to me, and I'm sure to others watching this, to hear you say, "Well, you know, I was insecure." You're Ringo Starr.
So what? I mean, you know, you have those moments, and actually, every night, I have a 2-second window of run back to the room or get on stage, and you know, every year I say, "No, I'm going to be Frank Sinatra. I'm going to stroll on. Hey, how you doing?" But they start up the music and it's like, whang.
And he still does.
He runs on. I think that's his adrenaline. He runs.
Yeah.
I think it's wonderful. I mean, Ringo can be a bit of an open book, you know, if you get in there, you get to know him.
Yeah.
And I like that he admits that even after all this time, there is that adrenaline jolt and nervousness. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he's on stage, he's fine. Mm-hmm. But before he gets on, he thinks about going home.
Yeah. You know? That's great. The last thing I want to play for you before we give you the new interview is we had the opportunity to talk to him. I think it was when the Ringo-Rama album came out.
Yes, it was.
And the song, he and some of his buddies crafted a song called Never Without You.
Yes.
His tribute to George Harrison, who had died, I guess, the year before. And it was tough, obviously. George was like a brother to him. And we sat down and we talked about a lot of different things. And then we did talk about that. He knew we would, you know, it wasn't his favorite topic to talk about.
No.
But he knew we would have to talk about it because that's the song that was out and it was his tribute and all that kind of thing. And he was great. And he was, you know, here's the thing about Ringo. He's such an upbeat guy, always looking forward and all of that. But then can be very reflective at times when he's comfortable and wants to be. We've seen him in a variety of situations, and it's very interesting. Like earlier, one of those clips earlier is when he's talking about the Beatles possibly getting back together, And he just kind of almost sadly says, yeah, but it's all over now.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this was another time that was a little bit emotional, talking about George. I think this is from 2002, 2003.
Obviously, the song that's going to attract the most attention, and it's the first single from the album, Never Without You, your tribute to George Harrison. Was that a tough song to get out to write?
It wasn't so much it was tough, it was very emotional, and I loved the opening verse.
We were young, it was fun, and we couldn't lose.
Which was about, you know, we were young, and, you know, limousines, bright spotlights. I mean, it was about a band, you know.
It wasn't necessarily about George.
It wasn't about anybody. Right. It was just a generic band song, really. Mm-hmm. In the end, I just thought, no, it's going to be for George. And that's how we settled on that, you know. And we even used some of his words.
I know all things must pass, and only love will last.
They're all things he used to say.
Within you, without you, here comes the sun, is about you.
And I felt, I'm blessed because I can say these things because, you know, I love the man.
It was fairly well publicized that you and Paul McCartney had the opportunity to have a final reunion with George at his home, I guess.
Yeah, but that's just what was publicized. I had mine with him in Switzerland, and Paul had his in America.
So it was not the three of us.
The three of us were never in a room together.
That must have been an amazingly special day for you.
Well, it was amazing, and it was hard. You know, it's hard. You know, he's my friend, and you're losing a friend, and you really just think about yourself half the time. But he made it very easy for me. He had no fear. When I was with George, the last time I saw him, he had no fear of dying. And so that helped, you know.
Do you kind of wish that after the Beatles had broken up, you all did hang out together more often?
Well, that's living in the past. It would have been nice if we had have done, but we didn't, you know, just the way things happened.
I think part of Ringo's success is that as much as he is willing in his own way to talk about the Beatles, he is basically always looking forward. Mm-hmm. And I think that saves him. Mm-hmm. If he wanted to wallow in the loss of George, the loss of John, mm-hmm. and that the Beatles can never be ever mm-hmm. again, he would have been in trouble. But he's not that kind of guy.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. Anyway, those are some of our previous interviews with Ringo.
I think it's wild just how comfortable he is with you guys. I mean, there is just so many real moments and real responses that he gives you all, and it's just a testament to how great of friends you are. I mean, it's really cool to hear.
We were very lucky. Lucky.
The first time I sat down with him, we went to Atlantic City.
Yes,
he was rehearsing there, and we sat down with him, and I told, you know, we had planned it for a couple of weeks, and then, but I kept thinking there's no way this is going to happen. It's going to fall through. It's not going to go well. Gary was already there. I got in a car and drove down there. We're all set up, and I'm talking to Gary and to Elizabeth Freund, and Ringo steps out of the rehearsal. We hear the band playing, and then Ringo steps out. He's right in front of me all of a sudden. Elizabeth introduces me to him. He makes a joke about my name.
Yes.
You know, a Norman Bates type joke.
That's right.
And instantly, you know, here's one thing about both Ringo and Paul. I think they both know, all right, we were Beatles. People are going to freak out. They instantly put you at ease. They both put you at ease, and he did that. But we did the interview. It went well. We hugged afterwards and everything. And I think you know this. I think I told you this. Afterwards, when Ringo left the room and then Gary's talking to the photographer and everything, I had to kind of step aside because I got emotional, you know, because I love these guys. I'm a fan. I've been a fan since I was 4 years old. And the fact that I had just sat down and talked to Ringo Starr and had gotten along with him and had no idea that this would last, and I would see him again and again. It's great. It is great. It is. It's just, you know, when my son was born, I think I mentioned this on a show. Ringo sent flowers to he and Barbara sent flowers to the house and a card. Mm-hmm. That just blows me away.
It does.
It blows me away.
I had a similar reaction being in that room and realizing that even though I didn't do the interview, I was accepted. Liked. Mm-hmm. He did an autograph for me. I don't know if you remember, but he took my denim jacket I bought a Beatles denim jacket at Bloomingdale's. They had a Beatles store for a very short time.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't get a chance to have it autographed, and I handed it to Ringo, and he said, I'm going to take this in a limo with me. And he took it back to his hotel, and he doodled all over the back of it.
Oh, I forgot
and
that.
And I still have it because there was a film strip on the back of it of John, Paul, George, and Ringo. And on John, he drew glasses. On his own image, he put a halo. he drew a line from the name Ringo down to his film strip.
Oh, my goodness.
And I have that jacket,
that
but I can't
fantastic.
Wear it. Because
no, you can't wear that. All right, we've gone on long enough. So here we go, folks.
Go ahead,
we
Tony.
Flew out to L.A. to interview Ringo Starr. The occasion, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, happening tonight, as you're hearing this for the first time, and the brand new album, which is called Postcards from Paradise. The first track on the album is my favorite song on the album. It's about his old band, Rory and the Hurricanes. We'll play that, and then you've got the new Ringo interview.
Woke up early, headed for the M1. 200 miles till we get to London. Sleeping on the floor, living on bread and jam, because we thought we'd hit the big time. We didn't give a damn. We were Rory and the Hurricanes.
Rory and the Hurricanes.
Rory and the Hurricanes.
Rory and the Hurricanes. Rory and the Hurricanes.
Went to the dance on a Friday night.
That's the first track on Ringo's new album, Rory and the Hurricanes. And yes, the man himself, the act you've known for all these years, Mr. Richard Starkey. Ringo Starr is with us.
Yay!
How are you, sir?
You know, you're blessed. You're actually sitting with an actual hurricane.
Yes, yeah, well, we are.
That is very
and
true.
And we feel it.
Yeah. I used that on the show. I said, I'd like to do a song from that other band I used to be in. The old, oh, you know, it must be the Beatles.
Right.
I say, yeah, Rory Storm and the Hurricane.
Well, we are thrilled to be here with you.
Are you as excited to be here with us as we are to be here with you?
No.
Not at all, right?
Not at all.
See, I knew you would say that, and I love that about you.
Yeah.
We come bearing gifts, though. We come bearing
gifts. Well, now I'm excited.
Yeah, there's a little photo there. I know
let
that,
me see. The,
all right.
I'm going to open the envelope.
And
on radio.
One day, if you keep that 20 years, it's going to be worth a dollar.
Look at this. I know you can't see this, ladies and gentlemen, and you're very lucky.
It's an autograph picture.
It's a photo of Tony and that other guy, Gary.
Yes.
Looking gorgeous.
But look at the jacket I'm wearing.
Yeah. It's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
jacket. I know, it's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, yeah.
Yeah.
And look at the tie you're wearing, Joey.
Well, it's from a few years ago.
That's memories of when you worked in an office.
Much different attire today. Listen, congratulations on...
Thank you for this. I'll put it nowhere.
I'm sure. Congratulations on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. On the,
what a surprise.
It's been too long, as they say.
That's what everybody's saying, but is there any too long or too short? It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was informed that I was going to be inducted by one of the people who'd been inducted quite a while ago, Paul McCartney.
We've heard of him.
Yeah. He called me and he said, they want to induct you. Will you accept? And I thought about it and thought about it. And I said, yes. And he said, now I'm going to give you the speech. Oh, so that's... I thought, well, what can go wrong? A free meal and Paul McCartney.
Right. I like that you said that it's an opportunity for Paul to go out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I always say, you know, when Paul calls me up for something for me to do, it means he wants a night out.
Right, right. Does it mean something to you?
It does actually mean something to me because it is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's from Cleveland. And in all honesty, that's where rock and roll came from. Mm-hmm. With, you know, the great Alan Freed, mm-hmm. and who introduced us to so many people. So, yes, it does.
I also want to say congratulations to you for the album, yeah. Postcards from Paradise. Love the album. I want to get into a couple of the songs. You heard Rory and the Hurricanes is probably my favorite song on the album.
Yeah, Touch great. And Go. Love Touch and Go.
Touch and Go. Well, you know, that was great because that's all I had with Gary Byrne. I wrote that song. I said, well, I've got this track. I always have a track. That I'd worked on, and we write to the track. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're a teenager, you know, the song sentiment is, when you're a teenager, life is touch and go. You know, you touch and then you're off to the next round. Mm-hmm. And you're either touched or you're touching someone.
If you're lucky.
And then you're off again to touch someone else. And then, you know, you grow up and it's actually, you know, it turns into another Barbara song. We've been together 35 years and, you know, life, the sentiment of the song is life is more than touch and go. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about being.
We met on a Friday night. I saw some other guy holding you tight. I thought that I didn't stand a chance. I caught your eye at the end of the dance. I knew from the moment we said hello, it had to be more than touch and go. It had to be more than touch and go.
It has that very 60s, mid-60s kind of vibe to it, yeah. At least I think. It's very upbeat.
It's got great energy. It really does. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, years ago when we first met, I think it was about 80, 90 years ago, we asked you about recording and about the All-Star Tour and going out every year, and you said, hey, I'm a rock and roller.
Yeah.
And you never stop. You never stop, and you say that... All you want to do is play the drums, not alone, which you don't like.
No, I hate that.
You just want to play, and amazing.
You know, you're right. I love to play. I'm playing more than I ever did. And, you know, I started the All-Stars, and it was like a two-month gig in the summer. And now it's like 4 months a year. Mm-hmm. So it's actually doubled. And I'm making the record, and just by chance this year I'm being inducted. So it's a lot going on, and my energy is high. And so... there's more I can do.
There are a lot of guys who have done this for a living and, you know, they did it for 10 years, 12 years, had their run, and it's over. You're right. There's a lot going on now with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the new album, and Rolling Stone magazine, the cover of Rolling Stone.
I know. Absolutely. Can you believe it?
So, I mean, how do you, at this stage of the game, are you surprised that
I
it's
am.
Still?
Yeah. No, I am surprised. Not surprised I'm playing because, you know, I'm a musician and... You know, the great thing about that is as long as I can hold the sticks, I can go out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the big part of being a musician for me was playing to live audiences. Mm-hmm. I love that. And, you know, I've done this Ringo and the All-Stars now for 25 years. People know I love them and the audience love me and it's a love fest. And we have a lot of fun and you hear great music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I keep saying in a humorous way that we are the best 1-800 number band in the world. You know, and we're all playing with each other, so you don't have to listen to Todd and his band, Greg Rowley and his band, and, you know, Steve Lukather and his band. We are the band.
Let me ask you something. Gary, on the way here, Gary was talking about this, how you are a benchmark for a lot of people, for a particular generation, including my generation.
Yeah, I don't think you know this. This is something, go ahead.
Well, you put it better than me. Where you
Why
are...
don't you two talk amongst yourselves?
Gary, take it.
Oh, you take no prisoners. That's why we love you. Okay, so I was saying that all of us subconsciously pick people in our lives as benchmarks for how old we are.
Yeah.
And if certain people are getting older, it means that we're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people have used you.
Yeah.
When you turned 60, I said to myself, well, where am I?
Yeah.
And when you turned 65, I remember that. And I said, well, I can't be getting any younger.
Well,
and I think that people use you, the Beatles, where we were at a certain time, yeah, as benchmarks for where we are in our lives.
Yeah, but Gary, you have to remember, the older you get, the more long-winded you get.
Oh, Ringo knows you. Yes. Ringo knows you.
Have you listened to our podcast?
He must listen.
You know, you have to remember that in my head, I am 24.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the other side of my coin is I am still playing. I still have energy. But I look at B.B. King, who's still out there.
That's right.
You know, and my line about that is B.B. King is out there. I mean, he is sitting down now, but hey.
Sure.
So am I.
Sure.
You know?
I saw him play recently. It's still amazing.
Yeah, yeah, he's got those eight notes.
Yeah.
You know? Well, it's the blues.
Yeah,
I'm not sure it's eight notes
most,
with the blues.
Most blues players only have four.
Right. But he's B.B. King.
Yeah.
Right, that's the cool part.
I know. I'm blessed. I am in a profession where we can go on.
Right.
Yes.
And, you know, as long as we can stand up, or as long as we can sit down, in my case, as long as we can just do it and love it.
Right.
You know, I'm not out there because, oh, I'm desperate.
Right.
I'm out there and I go out when I want to go out. I go out in luxury and I have a great time.
I want to ask you about a couple of particular songs. On the new album, we mentioned Touch and Go, another one of my favorite songs. Here's the thing. Everyone thinks of you, rock and roll, Ringo, playing the drums. Over the last several years, you've done a number of ballads that I think are great. King of Broken Hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
On this one, I love Not Looking Back. It's obviously about Barbara. It sounds like it's about Barbara.
Well, it is. It was started by Richard Marx, who was a great balladeer anyway, but he had a couple of lines, and then we changed the atmosphere of the first verse because it was going somewhere else in his mind. And then I made, you know, the joy of writing with other writers, we write the songs, but it's always going in the direction I want it to go, which is positive and usually peace and love.
Yes.
And so it's a beautiful song.
Summers have come and gone, but all
are there songs of yours that you wish were more, not the hits, are there some favorite Ringo songs that you have that you wish people knew better?
Well, no. You can't live that life. You know, I make the record, I promote the record, you know, we put the record out, and then it's gone. You know what I mean? It goes wherever it's going.
Right.
You know, in my head, always it's like there's a number one.
Right.
Yeah, but so far, I was still waiting.
One of my favorite things that I read recently about you, it was either in Rolling Stone or the LA Times or whatever. I'm paraphrasing, but it was about when life began, and you said walking off the 707, getting off that plane in New York, and the whole world changed.
Well,
and I loved that.
Yeah, that was arriving in the country where all the music we love came from. It was so exciting. And I always say this, as Americans, you won't know that. But for us, coming to America was such a huge deal. And, you know, just a year before, George had come to America and was going around stores saying, hey, have you got the Beatle record? And they say, never heard of them. And he came back to England and said, oh, it's going to be really hard. And they don't know us over there. And who could plan it? We arrive with a number one, huge crowds at the airport, the whole of America loving us. We do Ed Sullivan, 70 million people watch the show. Then we start playing stadiums. I mean, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, like everything does in America. And
right.
I'm so glad we were part of that.
I'm so glad we were able to be here to interview you, to talk
anyway,
to you.
Anyway, here you got a podcast now, so you still got a job.
Yes, we do.
Well
yes,
done,
yes,
boys.
Yes, we do.
Lots of listeners.
That is, and you know, there's nothing I can give you because you have everything. That's just a little, it's a good luck token. It's a silver seashell.
Oh, yeah.
It says, imagine peace, because I know that's what you're all about.
Yeah.
Gary flew in from New York to be here today.
Just
I came
to do
up
this.
From San Diego.
Just,
thank you so much for everything.
We love that you give us a chance to be with you.
Yeah.
Well,
you.
I've flown all the way from Bel Air.
Well, you really go out of your way. Thank you so much.
Ringo Starr.
I just want to say one more thing. Peace and love, brothers.
Peace
to
and love.
You too.
I phoned up my doctor. What's the matter? He
Such fun.
Oh, boy.
Such fun.
I hope we're not enjoying this more than our audience.
It's Ringo. It's Ringo being Ringo, and he was great, and we do thank him for the time. Listen, very quickly, a couple of things. When I asked him about other Ringo songs, are there songs that you wish people knew? There are a couple. We're very tight on time now, amazingly, so I'm only going to play a little bit of one of them. But I want you guys, if you're a Ringo fan and you have not heard these songs, seek them out. There's a song called In My Car that came from an album called Old Wave. The album's no longer available, so you have to find it somewhere. It's a great, upbeat, fun song. There's a song from what I think is his second best album, second to the Ringo album. Time Takes Time came out, I think, in 92 or 93. The closing track on that album is What Goes Around. Great song. A song that really should have been a hit, the first track from the Time Takes Time album, Weight of the World. Can we hear just a little bit of that, Rob?
Maybe your daddy never held you like he should. Maybe your mama just held on the best she could. Every soul has a secret. Give it away or keep it. But yesterday's gone, so tell me why.
Love that song.
He's got a lot of joy in him.
Yes,
you know?
He absolutely
and
does.
I noticed that in the interview.
Yes.
That he has a lot of joy. And the song Rory and the Hurricanes, he is so joyous.
Yeah.
He's just,
yeah.
You know, we've met him in a lot of different moods, a lot of different places, always receptive to us. But Ringo's complicated.
Yeah, he is. He is.
But in a wonderful way.
In a wonderful way. He's just a great guy. All right, finally, he's being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame tonight as a solo artist. So each of the Beatles is now in twice as a Beatle, as a solo artist.
Right.
This has been a long time coming. Every now and then you hear people say, really, Ringo? Is he that great a drummer?
Yes.
Yes, he is. And if you talk to people who are musicians, who are in bands, so many of them say, he is the guy who influenced me to want to be a drummer, and he is the guy that you listen to what he does, and then you try to do it, and it's hard to do. Ringo himself has said he's not a big over-the-top drummer trying to dominate the track and all that kind of stuff. He tries to serve the song,
yes.
And he did that with the Beatles, and he's done that all throughout his career. Here's what I would say to people who say, well, his solo career wasn't that great. Out the gate, he was the most successful of the former Beatles. He really was. That first few years, It Don't Come Easy, Back Off Boogaloo, Photograph, You're 16, Oh My My, Only You, No No Song. I mean, he was among the first to have a number one hit single.
Right.
And had one before John did.
Yes.
You know, so it was very great. You talk to drummers, Dave Grohl, Max Weinberg of the E Street Band, Phil Collins, Jim Keltner. All of these drummers talk about how great and how influential Ringo has been as a solo artist and as a drummer. In addition to that, he's on the road all the time, spreading peace and love.
He's far from finished.
Far from finished. He and his wife, Barbara, funded and founded the Lotus Foundation, which is a charitable project aimed at advancing social welfare in diverse areas, including but not limited to substance abuse, cerebral palsy, brain tumor. Some of this he's dealt with is with one of his children in his life. Cancer, battered women and their children, homelessness, animals in need. Ringo is an artist. He sells art. All of the proceeds from his art, his paintings, goes to the Lotus Foundation. This guy is as out there as any other rock star has ever been, as influential, as successful, and as giving back to the community as anyone else. So,
if Ringo Starr doesn't pay you for this interview to add to the billions of dollars that you have already...
Well, I'm serious.
I know.
Because people say, yeah, come on, he's for real.
Yeah. But now, you know, I'm able to offer you something that I got to do on your behalf, by the way. But it was a Ringo moment that I had alone, without you.
Oh,
I don't need you.
Okay.
You're not everything.
Okay. I didn't say I was.
The funny thing.
You kind of did without saying it.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about you, Tony Perkins.
No.
You know that I can't even begin to sell that. There's no way. Okay. So here's something mentioned, which is really funny to me, that you said. you know, when your son was born, he sent flowers to the house. He sent a card. But I don't know if you remember that I made a certain phone call. And when Connor was born, you got this phone call on the set of Good Morning America.
Okay, Tony, this is Ringo calling. I know you're going to have a short break because something great is happening in your life, that you and Rhonda are going to have a little one. So I'm just calling to wish you all the best and send you love. And, you know, it's a great event. And I love you and goodbye.
Do you, Tony's crying, by the way, right now. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. I had forgotten.
You had forgotten. Let me just add something else to that. Yeah, okay. Wipe your eyes. Wipe your eyes.
That's pretty incredible.
It is incredible.
And pretty amazing that you would reach out to him. I was leaving Good Morning America for like 4 weeks to go on paternity leave.
I called him at home, you know?
That's
Elizabeth said, you can do it. Go ahead. You can call him at home and get him to do it. So what you don't know, though, is that I had to go into an edit room to call Ringo.
Mm-hmm.
And to spend a little time on the phone getting this. And in, I don't know how many years this is, you never knew this, and you never heard this. So Rob is going to play this for you now.
Hello.
Hello.
There you are. Well, just by starting off and saying, Tony, this is Ringo.
Yeah.
And then you could give them advice or just wish them well.
I'll wish them well, I think.
Whatever you feel like doing.
Okay.
And of course, Ringo being Ringo, you know, we whatever you feel like doing is fine.
Okay.
Just a quick level, please.
Yes, can you hear me? This is for Tony and Rhonda, and the little Tony and Rhonda.
We know it's a little man.
Oh.
Do know that. We don't know the name, but we know it's a little man.
Okay.
And he's due on Monday. So Tony's last day is Friday, so you're just wishing him a bon voyage.
Okay.
All right, we're rolling.
Okay. Hi, Tony. This is Ringo. I'm calling to congratulate you and Rhonda for any minute now, having a little Tony and Rhonda. And, you know, the only advice I can give you, Tony, is run! That's not true. I'm sure you'll be a great dad now you finally realize where you have to put it. And so that's it. I wish you both all the love in the world and for the little Tony and Rhonda that you'll be amazed how your life will change. Okay, Tony, bye.
That was great. There might be one or two words I have to cut out.
Which one?
Where to put it?
Oh.
It's the morning show, Ringo.
Yeah, so what? Look, it's 2003, for Christ's sake.
I know. While I'm being fired, I'm going to tell them that.
Yeah.
All right, that's terrific.
If I fire you, you can come and work for me as a gardener.
Thank you very much.
If you think you have to cut that out, shall I just say something else?
Well, I will have to cut that little piece out. You want to just have another run at it, and I'll just take the best of it, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, Tony, this is Ringo calling. I know you're going to have a short break because something great is happening in your life, that you and Rhonda are going to have a little one. So I'm just calling to wish you all the best and send you love. And, you know, it's a great event. And I love you, and goodbye.
That's great.
Okay.
That's terrific.
All right, thanks.
I appreciate it. We hope to see you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Ringo.
God, I can't believe... How have I not heard that?
I have held on to
this
that.
This is 12 years.
I've held it for 12 years. I know you've never heard any
I've
of that.
I've never heard that, no.
No.
That's amazing.
Do you know what I had
that
to do?
That is amazing. It is, and it's so funny.
It's so Ringo.
Oh my goodness.
You could come out and be my guy. I said, oh, while they're firing me, I'll tell them that.
I can't
believe come on,
that.
It's 2003. You can come out and be my gardener. You know. So, I mean, again, it just sort of points up how long this has been going.
Yeah.
You know, when we talked about finding some elements of things that we had, I knew I had this, but I hadn't seen it in years. I went up to my attic and there was a box of Beta tapes. Nobody's used Beta in years.
Right, right.
I went through every tape and I'm going, oh no, oh no, oh no. Well, wouldn't you know, the very last tape I find in the box says Ringo's goodbye to Tony. And I knew I had the Beta. I had it transferred to a DVD and I sent it right to Rob Ford.
Yeah. Rob, how did you? I don't know how you do that with a Beta, but or DVD.
I did a DVD.
Wow, okay.
So now we have that forever on a DVD.
I have it on this show. Love that. And again, I can't believe Ringo would take time to do that. I can't believe that.
Did you believe that there was the possibility of surprising you with a Ringo element?
No, and can I just say this? And
yeah,
okay, this is, we're going to wrap up this love fest. So you earlier in the show mentioned me wanting you to be in LA for this interview.
Yes.
You know, it's because we are a team. It is because I love you. And for you to even think 10 years ago, 12 years ago, I wonder if I can get Ringo to wish Tony something and then to make it happen. That's amazing to me. And to hear that version one, that's great. That is great. So,
well, you know, I love you too. Boy. And I'm glad we were able to get that.
All right. That's our show, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. We thank you very much. And as you know, we always thank our guests. We have maximum thanks for Ringo Starr.
Yes.
We thank Elizabeth Freund, his publicist, for hooking it all up. And
that's the third time you've used hooking, but that's okay.
Do I have to get that out of my...
Hooking up, you have to get out.
Yeah,
that's not
a different
good. Because we did not hook up with Ringo.
Yeah, let us put that to rest.
If we insist that we hooked up with Ringo, that's probably our last interview. But speaking of that, I don't think that we've had our last conversation. I won't even say interview. I don't think that we've had our last conversation with Ringo.
I don't know if you heard this. He's going to be in Baltimore in October, and one of his people said, you guys got to come out.
There you go. Well, yeah. We'll be there.
All right. Very good. Thanks for listening, folks. Remember to check us out on Facebook. Just look for The Tony Perkins Show. On Twitter, we are at T-Perk Show. And remember to tell your friends all about us as well so they can follow us. You should also subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for The Tony Perkins Show.
And don't forget to give us at least a 5 Ringo Starr review.
Oh, I see what you did there.
You see what I did
Very
there?
Very good, Mr. Announcer Boy.
Thank you.
Anyway, thanks for everything. And to take us out, here is The Act You've Known for All These Years.
What would you do?
Rob Ford, are you fooling us?
Wait, what's the problem?
Yeah, was Joe Cocker the fifth Beatle, Tony?
I cannot believe that's right song, wrong artist.
Yeah,
Rob.
But you know what?
You said with a little help from my friends, this was the number one hit, right?
Look at the glint in his eye. The whole show has been us and Ringo, and we go out on Rob Ford.
Could you bring this one down, Rob? Please?
I apologize.
That is very funny.
Yeah, it's very funny.
But you're fired.
It's a heck of a show to go out on, though.
Were we paying him? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think we could fire him.
You can't fire a guy you don't pay.
Here's the act you've known for all these years. And then at the end, if you listen closely, you might hear a little something special and funny.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key. Oh, I get by with a little help from my friend. I get high with a little help from my friend. I'm gonna try with a little help from my friend.
The Tony Perkins Show, a More Broadcasting presentation. This is Dude Walker speaking. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This may make me famous. This may be the one.